Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey! It's your girl POC. Welcome back to Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Yes, 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 yes. Today is Winning Wednesday here on Revive. Today is August 16, 2017. I'm extremely blessed to be on these airwaves with you guys each and every time that I get the opportunity to talk to you guys, to educate and re-educate you guys. Always, man. Make sure you guys follow the Revive timeline right now at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. And most importantly, spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to Tune In and just search Time for an Awakening. Or you can go directly to the app. Or you can go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit me, your girl POC, each and every Winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you guys stay tuned, stay locked, and definitely spread the word. You do not want to miss out on what we're going to talk about here today. Today on Revive is entitled Statement of the Game. We're going to be talking everything sports, how sports are influencing the culture, you know, everything that's going on with Colin Kaepernick, everything that's going on, you know, with LaVar Ball and the Los Angeles Lakers, down to even, you know, just taking a stand and understanding that, you know, athletes are human too. You know, what athletes go through, or they go through what everyday people go through. And this is what we're going to talk about today here on Revive, especially with that auction yesterday that ESPN pulled, man. I know you guys out there who love sports, seeing that auction on ESPN as they were auctioning off. I was like, yo, how you going to auction off black men to a crowd of white men and think you won't get away with it and nobody gonna say nothing to you? Oh no. So we're definitely gonna be talking about this today here on Revive. So I want you guys to stay tuned. Once again, today is Winning Wednesday here on Revive. So we are gonna give away some Revive gear as well today. So we got some trivia questions I got for the listening audience. So I wanna make sure you guys are tuning in. Give us a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. Yeah, so make sure you guys stay tuned. You don't know when I'm gonna pull that trivia question out so you can win some of that free Revive gear. We got some dad hats for you. We got some 90s era dad hats. We also got some prophecy hats for you guys, as well as some 90 era t-shirts for you guys that we want to give away as well. We want everybody in the streets to be rocking that Revive brand. So make sure you guys stay tuned to Revive timeline, because we definitely got some information for you guys coming out. And we want you guys to tune in, because we got some guests coming on Revive today that's going to drop some knowledge when it comes to sports. We're talking everything sports. Statement of the game. Statement of the game. How are you making a statement to the game? What's your statement to the game? What are you putting out there? You know, all these athletes, everyone always wants to grow up and be that basketball player. Everyone want to grow up and be like LeBron, be like Kobe, you know, be like Emmitt Smith, be like Michael Vick, for say. You know, some people want to be like Michael Vick, and that's cool. That's their choice. But how are you going to make that impact? What is your statement that you're leaving on the game each and every time you touch the court or the field or the ball, whatever you may be playing, whatever sport that you choose to play? How are you making sure that you are leaving a statement each and every time that you do step up to your sport of choice? So definitely, we want to make sure that you leave your mark here on Revive today and tell us what your statement is. Make sure you guys give us a call, 215-490-9832, or you can tweet us, hit us up on Facebook as well. Hit us up on our social media at Revive_POC. Because like I say always, we are live tweeting and Facebook posting every time we get on the airway. So we want you guys to engage so we can engage right back with you guys. This show right here is for you, the people. We also got True Heart in the building, as well as Harmony the Goddess with me today. So shout out to the Revive team, always coming through and holding it down. Yo, True Heart, you just hopped off the mic. How was your interview with Optum Serve Radio?
My interview was great. I feel so refreshed, so recharged, and Iris and Tyrone are truly, truly amazing. Opportunities to Serve, which is Tyrone's company, and then Iris has Find Your Will Wellness, and they both just make a dynamic duo. I was able to talk about higher level communication. I did go live on Instagram and Periscope, and the Instagram one is up and the Periscope one is up as well. So if you guys missed the interview today from 6 to 7 p.m. on Daily Grind Radio, you can go to both social networks and check it out, because he asked me some heavy hitter questions and I had some heavy hitter answers. But it was truly, truly amazing, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm just hyped to be in the Revive studio right now, because nobody does it like Revive. So I'm just ready and prepared. I can't wait to the show. Statements of the Game. Let's talk about it.
Y'all, I did not pay her to say none of that. I did not pay her to say nobody does it like Revive. Thank you for the plug. I'm going to always take the plug, but I definitely didn't pay her to say that. But shout out to Higher Level Communication, though.
My check coming in the mail, y'all. Don't. Sorry, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Make sure, you know what I'm saying, that check say my name so we can, you know what I'm saying, we maybe can go to the cashier check place together. We can go to cashier check. No? All right, cool. Team, that's what I'm talking about. You got to keep the right people by you. You know what I'm saying? If she says she thinks she's going to get a check, but the check going to come in my name, we going to make sure we flip it so that everybody can eat. You know, everybody got to eat. That's the purpose, that we all can eat. You know, that's why we put this team together, so we all can strive and be great in our own perspective lanes that we're creating for ourselves. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Just like Nehemiah Davis always says, when one win, we all win. So I'm with it.
Definitely. Definitely. So I believe in that, too. And that's why we're talking about Statement of the Game today, you know, because there's no I in team, you know, especially when it comes down to sports and things like that, except tennis and golf. But you still have to, you know, still play with the team. You have to be able to be trained with coaches and different things like that. So, you know, what are you saying?
My bad. Keep going. I was listening to the question. Then I got thrown off.
You was distracting me, man. Definitely distracting me.
I was on Twitter. I got Twitter fingers.
Oh my! So you interacting with the Twitter followers today? Okay, my bad. I appreciate that. I was just a little confused because you was like, "No, that's not true." I'm like, "No, that is true." I feel like, you know, people who play golf and tennis, they might be out there by themselves, but at the same time, it still takes a team to build up that craft and that skill. Especially when it comes to golf, you got to be ready. You know what I mean? And tennis, you got to be in shape. You trying to be the next Serena Williams? You think she got that body by herself? No, she had a team around her that made sure that she was on point at all times, to make sure she executed over excuses each and every time she stepped on that tennis court. So shout out to Serena Williams and her new baby she about to have. I cannot wait. And Venus, yes, I'm not throwing no shade. I'm just shouting her out because I just seen her covers on the magazine. Her flawless, man. You talking about maternity pictures? Oh my gosh, man. I hope mine's come out looking just like, I want my melanin just glistening, just like real life goals. Remember the pictures that she did on the balance beam? Oh my God. I was like, yo, Serena, who is your trainer and how can I get a contact? I need a plug. I'm trying to get like that, yo. She's in what, her mid 30s and killing it like that? Kill everything, man. We trying to get like Stella. I need my Stella Guy Grew Back body real quick in my mid 20s before I even hit 30. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that I'm good. That black girl magic. Yes, definitely. Indeed. That black girl magic. We need that. We need that. So shout out to Serena Williams always, and Venus Williams too, because they both broke, you know, tremendous records throughout their career. And that's why we're talking about it here on Revive. And today's question of the day, I want you guys to answer this question. I want you guys to call in because I want to know your perspective. I want to know your opinion, honest opinion, truly, truly want to know your honest opinion. Do you think athletes should speak up or speak out about injustice situations? True, how do you feel? Do you think athletes should speak up and speak out, not or, because it should be up and out, you know what I mean, on injustice situations? Do you think they should?
I definitely agree and think that they should. I feel like, and I just talked about this in my interview, and I feel like it's something that we talk about often in the studio and just, you know, offline. I feel like you can't always separate business and personal. And prior to playing in the league or owning a business or, you know, doing anything else, you were still a human being. And at the end of the day, because you're throwing a ball or you're pitching, you know, you're pitching for a team, you're still human. So you're still a black woman, or you're still a black man, or even if you don't identify with being African American, I feel like being a human being is being a human being. So at the end of the day, it's hard to separate the two. And just because you're a professional athlete and you're on this pedestal doesn't necessarily mean that you should have to separate your political or social views. And I think that for real, you get more notoriety when you stand up for something that's right. You see these little boys and girls getting slain by police officers in their community, or even communities that you were from, that you grew up to, but because you went pro, you don't live there anymore. But how can you say, or how can you just turn a blind eye to wrong injustices? And I think that's something that really makes some professional athletes sick to their stomach, and that's the people like Colin Kaepernick. Shout out to Marshawn Lynch, who literally just sat down because everything that was going on in Charlottesville. So I definitely think that you should definitely take a stand, whether you're a professional athlete making millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I actually know a professional athlete quite well because it's my friend's boyfriend. And this is a really great question that I'm actually going to ask him, because I want to know that in the event that if he had opportunity to stand up for something, I want to know, would he take a stand? Or would he sit down? I mean, I don't know. Would he take a stand or would he sit down? But it's crazy. What you think?
I don't even have to think on it. My first answer is going to be yes. Heck yes. Hell yes. Because like you said, let me before I get started on my rant, let me get my words together. Yes, they do have the right. They have rights just like us as everyday common people. You know what I mean? But because they step into that athlete role as being like a celebrity athlete, you know, they do have to keep an image and things like that. That's cool. I can understand preserving your image. I can completely understand preserving your image. But at the same time, you're always going to be seen as that athlete who did not speak up. You're always going to be seen as that person who had the platform but did not utilize their platform in the right way. You would literally post, tweet, do a commercial, do a drop for ESPN, whatever it may be, to promote a Nike brand shoe, a Puma shoe, a Adidas shoe, whatever someone is sponsoring you by, right? You would forever make sure that you give your audience that insight on what you're doing that's creating you more revenue, such as, you know, endorsement deals, shoe deals, Gatorade commercials, Nike commercials, colleges commercials, making sure, you know, when it comes back to giving back to the homeless, you'll make sure you got a picture with homeless people. You'll make sure you will have a picture with, you know, someone who's disabled or anything like that that can help your brand grow to make you look like you're for the people and by the people. You will make sure that your image is always protected in that right, right? Cool. But what about when someone gets murdered or by the hands of police? Or what about when someone is gunned down by white supremacists? Or what about when someone is beaten up in a parking garage because they're black and they're just walking through the garage? What about those different scenarios? You know what I mean? What about those different scenarios? Are you going to stand up and speak out then? What about when LeBron James, your homie, your player, your friend, gets nigger spray painted on his wall at his home, it was his wall, garage door, something like that, on his wall during the playoff season? What about those times? Are you going to speak up for your brother? Are you going to speak up for your friend? Are you going to do things of that nature? And I excuse my language for saying the N-word on the radio, but I was saying it in a context for you to understand that when do you speak up about that kind of injustice? You know, you will speak up and say, oh, homeless people shouldn't be homeless. You will speak up and say every child deserves an education. You will speak up and say every child deserves an opportunity. Yes, true. But at the same time, what about when, you know, Tyrone just got, you know, shot and murdered? What about when Philando Castile had a concealed weapon permit on him and they still took his life with his daughter in the backseat? What about when Alton Sterling is outside of a convenience store selling CDs? What about when Sandra Bland is being pulled over for a turn signal? Are you going to speak up about that? And yes, we do find, you know, our athletes who may wear a shirt that says I cannot breathe, or they do walk around and take a picture in a hoodie. Yes, that's all cool. That visual is great. That visual is something for us to look at. But at the same time, we have no substance because you didn't say anything about it. You didn't speak about it. You didn't actually give us a piece of you so we can understand that you fully do care. You fully do, you know, have an understanding that, yo, my people, the people who support me, the people who put that money into my pocket, the people who make my franchise grow over and over and over again are hurting. When do you speak up about that? It's a select few a handful of athletes who actually speak up about injustice that's going on outside of the arenas that they're attending every time they go play whatever sport that they're choosing to play. You know what I mean? What's going on outside of those arenas? You know what I mean? That's the point. Everyone, every single player in Chicago right now should be literally livid about what's going on in the city of Chicago. Livid about what's going on in the city of Chicago. The amount of deaths, the amount of shootings, the amount of killings, the amount of that whole black on black notion, whatever kind of, you know, people try to put on that notion of black on black crime. Everyone who plays for any team of Chicago should be speaking out every day. Everybody who plays for a team in Detroit, if you go to your neighborhood school, if you look around the corner from the block that your arena is in, and you look next door, you see that school crumbling. Why are you not helping that school? You're getting money from the people in that city. Let's talk about it. These are the people in the city that support you. Detroit is poor. Chicago is poor. How are you helping them? Them people coming to your games to celebrate you, to have fun with you, to show you some support, but you're not supporting back to them. That's when it becomes a problem. But you're quick to take a picture with a child to be like, yo, every child needs an education, and post that on your social media. No. No, we don't need that anymore. We don't need your social media postings anymore. Pay attention. Like, pay attention to what your platform can honestly, truly do. When you have people like Colin Kaepernick speaking up and speaking out and taking a knee to injustice, it doesn't even make him look more human. It just makes him look awoke. It makes him look relatable. It makes him look something that's, okay, I get you what you're saying, more personable. Yes, so that I do agree, more human, yes. But it's like, How could you not be on the same side as Colin because of a check? Like, if you're such a great athlete, that check is always going to come back because nothing can stop you from being that tremendous athlete that you are. You know what I'm saying? Nothing can stop that.
And nothing changes the love of the game. Colin still loves the game of football, but he is just on the right side of history standing up for something that he believes in. When you were talking, it really dawned on me that the NFL draft was in the city of Philadelphia this year, and the city of Philadelphia didn't gain a single brown penny from the NFL draft being here. Sure, their restaurants make money, their hotels make money, and different things like that, but what about the school district? Because they're still at a deficit for budget, and they're still at a shortage of teachers. They still have books that are from years and years and years ago. They still have old computers. They still have to close down on hot days because they don't have air conditioning. What? But we can have all these different things, such as the NFL draft, and it's cute, and it looks hell of good for the city, but what really happens when all the tumbleweeds have gone and now we're just back to the regularly scheduled program? So I think a lot of athletes do a lot of philanthropic work, but there's more that can be done. And when the nation is literally outcrying and outpouring their hurt and their sorrow, and for you to just literally be a puppet and don't speak out about it. Well, now I'm looking at you because you're this little boy's or little girl's favorite athlete. And if she or he is crying to their mom and their dad saying that, you know, daddy or mommy, this isn't right, but they're looking at you as a role model, how does that make you feel?
Definitely. How does it make you feel? And that's why the question of the day today is, should athletes speak up and speak out about injustice that's going on in the world outside of those arenas that they're playing in? Should they speak up and speak out? You know what I mean? And I applaud Colin. I appreciate Colin. Everything that he's doing, everything that he has done is game changing. Like, his legacy will forever live on. Whether he gets the chance to throw another football and put another jersey on, his legacy will forever live on because of the noise that he's making right now. He's making so much noise to the point where people are talking about an NFL boycott. You know what I mean? And people don't understand that it only takes that one right move to start a movement. And that's exactly what he's doing. He is starting a movement. Once you get talk of boycotting the American sport, because to me, baseball is no longer the American sport. The American sport now, to me, in my opinion, is football. So when you get other Americans talking about boycotting the American sport, the great sport of football, that pigskin game, you know what I mean? That is like, yo, he is changing the game. He is shifting the game. He is pushing the game to a whole nother level. Because now we're looking at franchises. Now we're looking at CEOs. Now we're looking at, you know, team owners. Now we're looking at sponsorships. Now we're looking at deals and everything that's being made when it comes to the NFL in a whole different spectrum. We're looking at it in a whole different, you know, a different way, a different lens, because now I'm looking at the NFL like, yo, they're making so much profit off of me watching this game right now. And honestly, truly, ESPN is not free. That is part of a cable package that I'm paying for, and they can't even let my man get a jersey. You know what I mean? Oh, no. It's on a whole nother level now. It's on a whole nother level. And that's why we have some great guests coming up on the Revive platform to help us with this conversation about sports. Statement of the game. Today's title of Revive, once again, is in called Statement of the Game. We're talking everything sports, from NFL to NCAA to the NBA. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break with our first guest. You do not want to miss him. He's coming up. He's an amazing, amazing sports journalist who has the ins and the outs when it comes to sports and how everything is shifting in the game. So make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is. Follow the timeline on Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. It's me, your girl, POC. I'll be right back after this commercial break.
Magic Johnson, this was just yesterday, he made the comparison that LaVar Ball is no different than Kris Jenner. She wanted to do her Kardashian children. It was just yesterday. And make sure her children are successful. It's the same thing with LeVar. Why is it so easy to demonize him? Why do you think that's been happening?
Because he's a black man. Mm. Let's be clear about that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much unpacking we could do with that situation. Because number one, when he first said, I want my sons to have a billionaire shoe deal. Okay. That shouldn't bother anybody. Mm-hmm. Whether he accomplishes that or not, that should not bother you for that man to want the utmost for his children. That's number one. Number two, when he made the comments about, how he didn't want to have his son sign an endorsement deal. Why are you mad that he wants to be an entrepreneur and he actually wants equity instead of just taking a check? Like, that should not hurt anyone's feelings. Like, none of us should be so invested in what LaVar Ball wants for him and his family that we're so quick to want to tear this guy down. Like, I don't understand it. And I don't understand why we're telling his kids to rebel against him. Like, that's literally what people are doing. They're like, Lonzo needs to make his own decisions and his father should step out the way. You mean to tell me I've been in these boys' life since day one, literally got them to this point, and now you're telling me I shouldn't be in my son's life? We black men get so much flack for not even, you know, being in their kids' lives now in nowadays. And now when you see somebody so invested, you're like, you know what? You shouldn't be so invested. That's the dumbest logic in the world. And I don't understand why we're so hell-bent on, number one, getting his sons to rebel against him. And number two, like, not wanting to see him win as an entrepreneur. Like, I want to see him win. You know why? Because if he wins, he changes the dynamic between sneaker companies and players forever. And now we're going to have a whole crop of, you know, young black men who come in the league and they're like, you know what? I don't just want to sign with Nike. I don't just want to sign with Adidas. I actually would like a partnership. I would like some equity. That's how you create generational wealth.
So is there anything that he could do that crosses the line that may damage his son's career?
I mean, honestly, man, I think the thing that he's done, I think at this point, just conceal your intentions. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the 48 laws of power teaches you. It teaches you to conceal your intentions. That's probably the only, I mean, I like the fact he's being vocal, because when you're vocal like that, it's sparking seeds into other people. But if anything, I just think he should conceal his intentions. Like, you don't always got to tell people your plans. You don't always got to tell people what it is that you want to do, what you want to accomplish. You know, I don't think the only thing that can hurt the Ball family at this point is if Lonzo Ball gets drafted and doesn't produce. Like, if Lonzo Ball goes to the NBA and he's just not a good player. Like, everybody keeps talking about, oh, LaVar Ball's hurting his son. Like, no. If Lonzo goes to the NBA and he doesn't ball out, then it's nothing you can say. Like, he makes his father look crazy. You know, his father's out here to one champion him and saying, this is the next guy and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It all depends on whether or not Lonzo Ball goes to the NBA and produces. That's it.
You think he ends up with the Lakers?
I pray he does. In my world, I want him to end up with the Lakers. I want him to be the most the greatest rookie that the Lakers have ever seen since Magic Johnson. And I want him to lead them back to the playoffs. I want L.A. to be in love with him. I want every sneaker company to be like, you know what? We do need to be in business with the big baller brand. Like, because that's what's going to happen. If Lonzo comes to L.A. and he's everything LeVar says he is, they're going to be able to write their own ticket.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. About that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Yes, yes, and we are back live on Revive right now. It's me, your girl, POC, host of Revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Also, you can go directly to tune in. You can go either to the website or the app and just search timeforanawakening.com, and you will hear me, your girl, POC, each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you stay locked to the dial and spread the word so everybody can join in on this amazing conversation we're about to have here today on Revive. We're talking everything sports today here on Revive. Our first guest is coming up on the Revive platform. I'm extremely excited to be having this conversation with him because of the wealth of knowledge that he holds when it comes to sports, you guys. Yo, Truhart, who we got coming on the Revive platform?
On the Revive platform, we have Rob Parks. Rob is a sports journalist who covers both the NBA and NFL. He is from Cleveland, Ohio, but currently resides in Miami and Washington, D.C., when he is not traveling to the United States constantly for his work in the healthcare IT field. Rob Parks is a very passionate sports journalist who provides a very unique perspective. Rob Parks, welcome to the Revive platform.
Hey, how you doing, man? It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure speaking with you, Rob. I did some research, and the amount of work that you're putting in, man, is truly amazing. We need more people like you putting in that amount of work, especially when it comes to sports. You know what I mean? Because if you're not sitting there on ESPN all day, every day, you don't know the ins and outs. But when you got people like you that's putting it out there for us to just grab it and read it and still be able to go about our day, it's amazing. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, Rob.
No doubt. No problem.
Definitely. So tell us a little bit about you and how you got started.
Oh, man. Well, I'm 32 now, so I started school undergrad when I was like 18. Majored in sports management at Bowling Green State University. Did some writing there, but didn't really take it seriously, even though I kind of like breezed through my coursework during school, especially on the writing side. But I never really took it seriously until about age 26. And I've just been writing ever since. And
awesome.
I've been putting stuff out there, and like I get opportunities. It's kind of like crazy stuff. It makes me want to go hard.
Definitely. And to piggyback on what you were saying, I'm the same way. You never know what you actually want to do until actually you leave college and you experience a little bit of life, and you're like, yo, I know exactly what I want to do now. And once you got that feeling that you know what you want to do, it's no stopping you. So starting at 26 is nothing wrong with that at all. Definitely nothing wrong with that. Since you started writing, what was one of your favorite pieces to write so far?
I wrote some of the articles, man. It's been crazy, especially over the last like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of my pieces on like LeBron, just because we're from the same area, and I kind of like know his backstory. I like know all his like inner circle and all that. So we came out the same. We graduated from high school the same year, but of course he went to high school in Akron. I went in Cleveland, but Northeast Ohio is very small, so. To write that piece, I wrote about like his economic impact and his impact period on Northeast Ohio was kind of like crazy. Like to see the response I got, and especially back home, was like overwhelming, to say the least.
Got that hometown support. You need that. You know what I mean? That keeps you going. That keeps you juicing, energized, that hometown support. Definitely. So how did you feel? My question, how did you feel when, his LA home got vandalized. Were you able to write any pieces on that story that came out when his LA home got vandalized?
I didn't write a piece on it, but I definitely felt some kind of way about it, like pissed off. Like, I know it can happen to anybody, but this guy paid $20 million for the house, like, for nobody to be watching it, or I don't know. It just sounds weird. You know what I'm saying? It's a $20 million house, so like, how can somebody just walk up and just vandalize it unless it's somebody in his own neighborhood that's been watching?
Okay, that makes sense. You just added another piece to my head, and that's that creative journalism right there. You know what I mean? That's that creative journalism. That's that investigating journalism for real. Definitely.
Yeah. Think about it. I mean, I don't know. In the same neighborhood, like, you know where he lives. Like, the regular person doesn't know where he lives. Okay?
That is true. That is true.
Only the people that live by him are like, shoot, that's it. So, hold on.
You got me thinking, Rob. You definitely got me thinking. Definitely.
My job, man.
When you start writing, how do you start writing? Do you first have to talk to someone first? Like, you have to talk to, like, if you're doing an interview first, to gather some talking points? Or do you actually start by, you know, talking how you feel, what you're thinking, and then you go out and, you know, get that interview so you can add to your story that you already started?
It just depends. It depends on if it's actual interview or not. Like, actual interviews I've done, like, especially this year, I interviewed Michael Vick twice, and now he's been all over the media. So it's been kind of crazy. So I had to, of course, interview him first before I wrote that article.
Okay.
But most of my articles, I just write, like, I don't know, I just come up with an idea in my head and just write. And most of the time I write it on my iPhone. I have Microsoft Word on my iPhone.
Awesome.
I don't know if you guys knew you could do that. Like, I'm a tech guy, so.
I did not know. So yeah, I'm really about to keep in connect with you.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah. Microsoft Word, yeah. It's downloaded on your iPhone. You can do anything Microsoft Word on your iPhone. So I write all my stuff on there. And off the dome, really. I don't make an outline or anything like that. I already know what I'm going to talk about in my head, and I just write it down.
Awesome. So when you had your experience to interview Michael Vick, you said you did it twice this year. That's amazing. Congratulations on that. When you had your opportunity to interview him, how did that feel? How was that interview? Was it organic? Was it something that you could relate to as a person? How was that?
Yeah, it was definitely organic. It was kind of like, it went real smooth. And, you know, I could tell I had some kind of, like, impact on him. Like, I could tell he was like, it's not like the regular interview. He even posted our picture on, like, his Instagram story. Like, not the Instagram page, but the Instagram story. He posted a pic of me and him. Like, both interviews. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, what?
That's awesome.
But, I mean, everything was smooth, man. I mean, you guys can go back and read those. I can send you the link and check them out.
Please do. Shout out your website and everything so we can hear it on
air. It definitely felt good because that's one of my at least top 10 favorite athletes of all time.
Man, I'm up in the air with Michael Vick. I used to love me some Michael Vick, but I'm definitely up in the air with Michael Vick after his recent, you know, comments he made, man. And I know you got – I'm going to ask you, by you saying that, how do you feel about his recent comments he made? But before you do that, I want you to shout out your website because you did say your article's up there. So we want to go ahead and put that on our timeline so people can find that article. What's your website?
Okay, I was writing for realsport101.com, and you can look that up. Just look up Rob Parks Real Sport. I recently just stepped away, so I was just like, I could just do my own thing on my own website. I really don't, like, thanks for the opportunity. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I can do it on my own.
I get you.
Like, I got a nice little following, so I'm going to just do my own thing. So I got parksportsandrecreation.com going on right now. That's where my stuff is. I just did an interview down in Miami last week. I was down there for a week. The Miami Pro Summer League. So players like John Wall, James Harden, Hassan Whiteside came through and played in that league this summer. So pretty
awesome.
Pretty good article up right now. I can see you guys that too. So I'm just been busy, man. I was trying to keep working.
Definitely. It sounds like you 2017 was your year. When you said it January 1st, it sounded like you meant it. I'm with that one, Rob. Definitely. Definitely. So how do you feel about that? I got to get back on that Michael Vick subject. So how do you feel about that Michael Vick, you know, his latest comments that he came out in when he said.
I mean, it's funny because I actually know the PR person. That's how I got the interview, like me and her, who we were already cool before. So she became his PR publicist and got me that interview. But, I mean, she should have told, or somebody should have told him not to say that on TV, even though, you know, it might sound crazy, but even though he was right.
Oh, I got to hear it. I got to hear it, Rob. I got to hear it, man. Tell me why he was right.
Listen. You can stand up wherever you want, but you're a black athlete. At the end of the day, the owner that signs your check, that you signed the contract with, is white. There's not a black owner in the NFL. So he was saying, like, out of like that, trying to, like, clean your image up, because, like, you know, there's, like, the rebel guy with the afro, like, by the league, like, a guy that the owners don't take seriously at all. You know what I'm saying? They look at you like a kid, like throwing a tip of pants, and they don't take you seriously. So you say, like, clean yourself up, get a nice cut, you know what I'm saying, taper, come dress nice, suit and tie, and get a contract. And what's crazy is they were about to give him a contract last week.
Tell me more.
You guys hear about that?
No, that's why I said tell me more.
Well, Colin?
Yeah, tell me more.
Colin was about to get signed by the Ravens and the Miami Dolphins, right? Because they both need a quarterback. So his girlfriend gets on Twitter saying, like, the Ravens owner is racist and this is bullshit and he's being blackballed. Like, crazy, going crazy on the Twitter. His girl. Who was Alvin Smith's ex-girl. His old teammate, but that's another story. Anyway, yeah, his girl. So now they don't want to sign him. And Miami wanted to sign him too, and instead they bought Jay Cutler out of retirement.
Wow. So that don't make it right though.
It ain't right, but I mean, Kyler keeps shooting himself in the foot, getting another chance. I feel like he was going to get another chance last week. I feel like they were going to sign him for sure. Like the way the coach was talking about Kyler in the interview, like Harbaugh was like, "Oh, they talk every week on the phone and." My brother Jim used to coach in the San Francisco. He's a good kid, so I take my brother's advice. Like I feel like he's got the fire in the Ravens.
Definitely, I don't know too much about that pick right there, but I still don't think it's right. So yes, I do think that, you know, if that's true that his girlfriend did get on and ruin his chances, you know, popping off on Twitter, then yes, that can definitely be a fault of his own because he needs to speak to, you know, his. But at the same time, though, when it came down to the whole Michael Vick situation, I don't think that was right, Rob. Honestly, truly, because you have to think about it. Why does a clean cut or, you know, cleaning up yourself identify who you are on the field? My looks has nothing to do with my ability to actually play football. So you telling me to cut my hair is not going to help me. What about my white teammate who's walking around with a mullet on his head? Why don't he have to go clean up? You know what I'm saying, Rob?
Remember who you're dealing with, though. You're dealing with white NFL billionaire owners.
So that's the problem,
You got to look at it from that perspective. You know what I'm saying? I feel what you're saying, like, why should I have to change who I am and all that? But this is a different, like, this is a different league than regular life. Like, this is the big league. This is professional sports. So you're dealing with millions of dollars on the table.
Agreed.
And, I mean, you signed the contract. Nobody put a gun in your head and signed nothing. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do what you got to do, man.
So,
that's how I feel. So, I mean, it's not about selling out. I mean, because if you didn't want to be a part of it, you could not be a part of it. Go start your own league or whatever like that. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to them doing that at all. Why not? Without them, there is no NFL.
That is true.
You know,
that is
without
so
black
true.
Players, there is no NBA. There is nothing. You know what I'm saying? Without blacks, there's nothing. So they got to realize. I just think they got to start realizing their power.
Yes, you just said something, Rob, that got me even more thinking. And I hope whoever out here listening, you know, you make sure you plug that plug back to Rob Parks, too. You don't be taking his ideas. He definitely just gave out a $1 trillion idea, definitely. But also what I was saying was what you just said, that is so true. They don't know, and that's one thing that we were talking about earlier, that athletes don't actually know how much power they actually have. You know what I mean? They have power in the pockets, and they have power in the mind. They're very, very, very influential, and they don't understand that. So that leads me to my next question. Do you feel as though that athletes should speak up and out about injustice that's going on, you know, outside of the arenas?
Yeah, I want to run. You said they don't understand. I agree there, but there are a few that do understand.
Mm-hmm. A select few, though. Like, I mean, like a hand few.
Like LeBron James, I think he realizes it. Mm-hmm. Like, all the stuff he's doing off the court, like, you can see, like, that's not normal. Like, athletes don't have to care about themselves. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to see somebody give it back like that is, like, crazy. Especially of that, you reach that level in your career. Like, he's considered a top three player of all time already.
Robbie, you're kind of coming through a little staticky. King, I don't know if it's your phone or if your service. You're kind of coming through just a little staticky.
You hear me now?
Much better, yes. And I agree with you, too. Okay. Also, Kevin Durant, too. He spoke up yesterday as well. Like, I actually loved his tweets that he put out about the auction that, you know, that ESPN put on. That was crazy. Yo, Rob, tell me how you feel about that auction. How do you feel about that auction? That was, man, I was living about that one.
That's insane, man. That's so insane. I didn't even open the thing.
Rob, you're going out really bad. You're going out really bad.
Can you hear me?
One more time for me.
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you much better now. Yes, sir. Repeat what you said, because we ain't hear nothing you just said.
No, I said
much better.
I didn't even want to open the link to the article.
It was horrible.
Yeah, I didn't even want to watch the video because I just got pissed off. Like, so I just like looked at the like headline and was like, "Wow!" Like, ESPN is stupid as hell.
It was the most dumbest thing that you can possibly do, especially after what just happened on Saturday. You know what I mean? And that was literally
right,
the most dumbest thing you can possibly do. They literally were trying to auction off black athletes to a group of white men. Literally talking about $10, $10, $10, $5, like literally auctioning off starting at $5. $5. Do you know how bad that is? And still no responses. The one thing they said was, oh, we do know this was a pretty dumb idea and we do apologize. That's all they said. They didn't give any apologize to the individual athletes that they had during that auction or none of that. I don't think ESPN, it's taking ownership for what they just did. Do you think ESPN ever takes ownership for the things that they do?
No. They're ESPN, man. They do what they want them to. That's just kind of crazy, right? They do got competition now on Fox Sports 1, though. Fox Sports 1 doing pretty good, but come on, let's keep it real. It'll never be ESPN, man. So,
and why do you think
ESPN knows that? And I feel like they do shit like that on purpose. Like, there's no way they could be that stupid to do that.
Why do you think ESPN has so much weight, though?
Why they have so much weight? Well, just the history, how the company got built up from the ground up. Like, I actually met the founder of ESPN. He don't own it no more because they bought him out. Bill Rasmussen. I actually met that guy. Like, it's kind of crazy, but so I read that he gave me his book about how ESPN started, and it's crazy. Like,
tell me, I don't know. How did ESPN start?
I think it started in like 1979, like him and his son in like Connecticut, where they are now, like Bristol area. And they just start building it up, and they just start getting satellite contracts, and he was just figuring it out on the go, like, literally. And then it blew up. Now Disney owns it, you know what I'm saying?
Disney?
And now since Disney backs them, you know what I'm saying?
I did not know
that. So they will never get overtaken by nobody.
That is so true. I did not know. So Disney actually owns ESPN? Is like an umbrella of ESPN?
ESPN is under Disney's umbrella, yes.
Wow, you just taught me
just like just like ABC and all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why when the games come on ABC, like NBA games, sometimes it's like ESPN on there because it's the same thing.
Wow, you just plugged us because I definitely did not pay it.
They use it like ESPN equipment, like cameras and shit, but it's on ABC because it's like a big national game, but it's the same company.
So you're saying, so Fox came out with Fox Sports 1?
Yes. Yeah.
And now, are there any kind of, like, are they competitive? Are they on any kind of level, the same level?
Those debate shows, like, because they stole Skip Bayless from ESPN, and now he's on Fox Sports 1. And, yeah, like, those debate shows kind of, like, neck and neck right now. But people still watch First Take, like, heavy. Like, I don't even think Undisputed Skip Show, new show is over First Take right now. Because Stephen A. Smith and Max, like, they go in, so...
And what about Stephen A. Smith? What are your personal opinions about Stephen A. Smith?
Personal, I mean, I try not to get personal, but I just think, like, Stephen A. be wilding. He knows it, but he does it on purpose. That's the thing. He's not just wilding. Like, I feel like there's a method to Stephen A.'s madness. Everything he does it like a calculated person.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't fell out with Durant before. You know what I'm saying? He was about to fall out with LeBron. Because he be knowing, like, and he be, like, pulling their card and they get mad. You know what I'm saying?
That makes
but
sense.
But he's pretty much telling the truth, though.
I never looked at it like that.
You got to be hard to be that guy, like, that does that. Like, you want these athletes to, like, punch you in the face.
Definitely. And another question, before I let you go today. How do you feel about athletes who retire from the game and then they come back to commentate the sports? Do you think that that is effective or efficient? You know, by them coming back to commentate the sports that they play, because they can now be like one-sided or, you know, one-track mind, such as like, you know, a Charles Barkley or Shaquille O'Neal.
I actually like Charles. I like Charles. Charles be like playing around. He be Charles. But like Charles is good at like analysis and breaking down the game. Though. He's like a basketball genius. So like that's why they got him on there. But that's all his antics like overshadow that. But Charles knows the game. But it just depends on who it is, man. Everybody, see, they like let anybody in, and some of these dudes they let anybody in, right? You know what I'm saying? Trash. But then some of them are good, you know what I'm saying? I just think they need to like be more selective. But I mean, I don't have a problem with a player wanting to do that and go to the next phase in their career
by commentating or
coaching or whatever they want to do.
Definitely. Do you ever see yourself sitting on the sideline being a journalist or a commentator for any kind of sport that you choose?
Yeah, I feel like that's coming in my future. I don't know when, but I mean, I've done my demo at ESPN. Like, I have an ESPN demo right
now.
I did it in Orlando. So, I mean, if I really want to get serious, I can just dive in and do it. But I've been doing other stuff. Like, I do IT work. Around the country. I like that too. So, I mean, why do one thing?
Especially
when you're getting paid, you know what I'm saying? So,
Definitely. So,
what it is.
So before I let you go today, Rob, how can we find you? How can we find your social media? If we can look at your demo, anything, go ahead and give yourself a shout out so we can make sure that everyone who is listening right now can tune into you, read those articles, those amazing articles. So I just read your article about, you know, the basketball tournament that you did down in Orlando. I thought that was amazing.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Yeah, Miami Pro. Yeah, shout out to them, man. That league is growing. It's dope. Like, got the old announcer from N1. Remember the N1 mixtape?
Yes, definitely.
The guy that used to announce those games, he do Miami Pro, so it's kind of wild. Like,
awesome. Yo, before you give yourself a shout-out, I do got one more question. How do you feel about sports video games? Do you think that they're still, you know, a trend? Do you think that they're watered down now? Do you think that, you know, because the cost on them have went up? You know, it costs, like, what, $100 to buy, like, what are we on, Madden 2017? Like, you know, that kind of crap. Like, do you think that those video games are
coming up. yeah. 2K18 about to come out, Madden 18.
Do you think that those are watered down, though?
No, I like it. I actually was playing 2K17, but I barely get to play my game. Like, these days, though, I'm always, like, on the move, but I barely get to play my Xbox. But I do got 2K17 and Madden. I like them. I think they keep me, like, sharp with the game and, like, my mind sharp playing the game. So, I don't know. I like them. I don't have a problem with them.
All right. I was just wondering, man, because it's like, how many more years you going to do this? We're going to get to 2K2020. You still going to have the same kind of philosophy? Like, I just don't see nothing different. I see the innovation in the game, of course. You know, the people look like the players on the game system look a little bit, you know, realer. Other than that, it's no change to it. It's literally playing the exact same game, just a different year.
Like a
new players.
Like a whole new kind of game.
Yeah, like, what's the difference of it? That's the only thing that I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's all
I don't
saying.
Know, man. Somebody will come out with one. So.
I hope so, because I don't understand why people are paying $100 just to play something that just says another year. It's
2K got its own community, though. 2K is like it's weird. It's like a damn religion for people. So, like, 2K going to stay around. Cause they got their fans, you know, millions and millions and millions of fans. So
that's crazy.
That game's not going nowhere. Yeah, crazy.
But But go ahead and give yourself a shout out so the people who are listening right now could definitely follow you, click the website and everything like that.
Facebook, Rob Parks Jr. Twitter, RPARKSJR85. That's R Parks Jr. 85. Instagram, R Parks 85. RPARKS85. You got LinkedIn. Hit me on there. Same name.
Professional plug.
I stay on Facebook heavy, Instagram heavy. I'm always traveling somewhere, so I'm always posting my travel articles.
What's your website so we can make sure we stay with the website?
My website is Parks. sportsandrecreation.com.
Perfect.
I actually just like got back into that site seriously because I just had to stop writing for this other site because I was just like, I mean, why write for somebody else when I can write for myself?
Makes sense.
That's my whole logic. Like,
and you're writing a lot some of really same dope dad articles. I love it.
Boss up.
I agree with that one. I appreciate you, Rob, for coming on the Revive platform and, you know, educating us on everything that you do in the journalism world. I appreciate that and giving us, you know, insight on things that we didn't know, because you definitely taught me something, especially that Disney plug. I did not know Disney owned ESPN. That was something that I did not know. I got to go do my research on that one. I also learned today that the CEO of Amazon owns Washington Post. I learned that today, too. It's a lot of big-name companies out here owning other big-name companies. Yes, the CEO of Amazon owns the Washington Post. So that's something. Because you reside in D.C. from time to time. So that's why
I'm in
D.C.
right now. Yeah, I'm in, like, outside by Dulles Airport. But, yeah, I'm in D.C. right now.
Definitely. That's why I wanted to mention that to you. Because that's something that I learned today. And I'm actually from the DMV area. So that was – I was like, yo, I got to know that. I got to know this information. But I thank you, Rob. I wish you many blessings in your future endeavors. And definitely boss up, man. Don't go work for nobody else. Go be your own boss. I'm with that one.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
No luck.
Bye-bye.
No doubt. That was Rob Parks. Wrapped up another great interview here on Revive, man. He was just a chill guy coming on to just inform us about what he does in the journalism world of sports, man. It was amazing to see that. And for him to be as laid back as he was, I thought he was about to be, you know, coming on and giving us that 411 in a tie and suit, you know. He was chilling with us today, and I appreciate that, because sometimes you just need people, you know, to be themselves in order to get the message that you're looking for, that authentic message that you're looking for. So shout out to Rob, because he gave me some gems that I did not know, especially that Disney plug, that ABC plug. I did not know that at all. Like, I'm like, oh, all right, back. I go do my Googles real quick. Definitely. But we do have a call on the line before I get to this quick commercial break. I do want to get to this caller. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
How you doing? My name is E from She Rockin' City.
What it do, E? How you feeling today?
I'm very well, very well. I just, you know, I ain't going to take up too much of your show. You know, I just wanted to come through and tell you guys, you know, I'm still listening. I'm still here. And, you know what I mean? I love what y'all doing. Y'all doing it real big for all of us. You know what I mean? Y'all giving us a voice. A lot of us didn't know, you know, where we could have these kind of outlets and get this kind of information. And y'all doing it real big. And I'm real proud of you.
Thank you, no doubt. But I got a question for you, man. I want to know, I got to ask you the question of the day. I want to know your opinion and how you feeling. And make sure once you hang up, you tell somebody else to call back so they can answer this question, because we want to know what they thinking as well, right? So when it comes to athletes, do you think athletes should speak up and also speak out about injustice that's going on outside of the arenas?
I want to make this very clear. I think that everybody should speak up and out about their profession if it has inspiration qualities. Now, what I mean by that is, if all right, like I just read an article, right, that it said teen pregnancies and births have sharply dropped since 2007. Okay. In 2007, Lil Wayne put that on that song, Safe Sex is Great Sex, Better Wear Latex, so forth and so on. Okay.
Before you get
I believe
latex.
Anybody, whether you're an athlete, rapper, journalist, even a janitor, if you run into a young boy that wants to be a janitor, I believe it is your duty to speak up and speak out to the folks that are inspired by you.
Yes.
To let them know what tribulations, what trials, and what rewards happen.
Yes.
In this profession, it is your job to teach the next generation. What are we here for if not that? We are supposed to advance as people, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see the people that before you, they have suffered because they made this decision, it should be somebody to tell you, look, we've been there. It wasn't a good look. Go the other way. That is your job as a human being.
I agree with
you. To teach those after you.
I agree with you, and I love how you said it with passion, because that means you actually mean it. And we need more people like you who actually mean what they say and do what they say as well, because I know you're out there influencing the young or the youth that comes behind you in everything that they want to do. Based on what you just told me, that spoke volumes to me, definitely spoke volumes to me. But we do have a call on the line as well, I think, that can help match with your, you know, with your message that you just said. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you're calling from?
What it do
is
Tab Money.
What it do, Tab Money. Thank you for coming through on the Revive platform. How you feeling today?
Everything is everything. How you doing? And it's still.
We good. I got E on the phone, too. I love what he was saying. So I want you to kind of piggyback up on what he was saying, or, you know, just give your own opinion, your own perspective. The question of the day is, do you think that athletes should speak up and also speak out about injustice that's going on outside of the arena?
Man, I'm waiting for the athletes to boycott the NBA, the NFL, baseball, all that. I'm waiting for LeBron to be like, yo, Kyrie, we going to the big baller league. They hear the injustice is too much. Let's go take our adult bread, our athlete, our entertainment somewhere else. So, yeah, that's why I'm really waiting for the athletes to really stand up and make a movement, make an impact. Right now, I can say Kaepernick is one of the successful athletes at a peaceful protest, but as far as impact and impacting the youth being able to knee during the anthem in the high school games and the middle school games. So I'm waiting for more people to come out here like Muhammad Ali was, Joe Louis, and everybody.
Hey, Tab.
What'd it do?
All right, so here's what I'm saying. Don't you think that 20 of them, you hear they big contracts, right? So if 20 of them put some chicken together, not all of it, you know, let's go off the say they paid themselves first and dispersed all their funds in the right spot. Now, with their investment, right? With paying themselves first, let's take that. If all of them did what you say with the kind of contracts and the kind of stuff that they got, they can make their own league. Period. I'm talking about with the best cameras, the advertisements, because that's where a lot of your bread come in. They could just up and move. No, but they're slaves. That's why they give them this money.
Like I said, Ice Cube already got that for the basketball league and then other major players. And to me, it comes down to sacrificing your emotions and sacrificing the dollar. Eventually, we would be able to fund a whole different league if we all decided to take our efforts, our entertainment, the jerseys, the ticket sales, the endorsements, the sponsors to a whole nother realm where we are in control of our destiny versus them being in control of our destiny.
It's exactly, but the thing about it is they have to be the ones to understand that, though. They have to be the ones to know that they have that much power. I think that, you know, because, you know, that fear of losing the check or that fear of not being picked up on the next team or that fear of not getting your contract re-signed is something that is embedded in the back of their heads, because even our first guest said something that really stood out to me. At the end of the day, the owners, the person who's signing that check is a white, wealthy billionaire kind of a guy. You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't care if you don't get your next check. He doesn't care if you don't get signed, because there's someone who's right behind you who's just as talented, who's just as tall, and who can slam dunk a ball, and who's going to be quiet about it. They're not going to speak. They're not going to speak up and speak out. They're going to be quiet and get this check.
And then that's my whole point, Tamara, is that, or POC, is that if we literally all stay together, we're not going to do this. Because at this point, the white owners of these leagues, they won't have nobody to choose from. Everybody else just wants to be in this league. They're not going to have the ticket sales that they're looking for. They're not going to get the jerseys and the endorsements and the apparel sales that they used to get, because everyone's now going to be in the big ball of league, for example.
Agree. But give me 1 second before we finish this conversation. I want to get another caller in, you know, to get more perspectives and opinions. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, this is Saudi. I'm calling from Lansdowne, PA.
Hey, how are you doing, Saudi? How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling
doing good. How are you feeling?
I'm good. So the question of the day right now is, do you think athletes should speak up and also speak out about the injustice that's going on outside of the arena? We also have Tab Money and E on the phone with us as well, you know, as we're giving our opinions about this, you know, this question.
Yeah, so I think 100% athletes should be using their influence and their platform to speak out against social injustice. I don't think, you know, if you're an athlete, a socialite, a CEO, a trash man, I don't think it matters what your professional career is. I think you know right from wrong, regardless of what position that you take or what, you know, how much you make a year. You know right from wrong. You know if it's wrong if your child was shot down in the streets by a police officer.
Definitely.
So why would you take a position that you hold powerfully and use that to be silent? I don't really understand that at all. I don't think there should be any sort of question of whether or not someone should speak out against social injustice.
Before I get that, because we got another caller on. I want to keep this conversation going, so I want to see what this caller has, and then we're going to get that opinion in as well. Yeah, I definitely want to hear what you got to say. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
TK, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Awesome. So the question of the day, I appreciate your support as well. The question of the day today is, do you think athletes should speak up and also speak out about the injustice that's going on outside of the arenas? And you have a couple people on the line with you having this conversation. So how do you feel about it?
Well, I feel like they should speak up and speak out.
Yes.
I do feel like players should speak up first. You have a big following, and it's like being, if you're a black athlete, your words mean a lot to other people. So if something happens worldwide to a regular civilian, your opinion matters, what you feel matters, and it feels something towards us if we know that bigger people with names are speaking out for us, because our voices really get heard. So if we know, like, this man with a bigger plateau who can speak up and make the issue known for us, then it's like it has a bigger light on everything. But I feel like nowadays athletes know that even with this money I have, my voice still can be shut down. So it's like, yeah, I could want to speak out, but I know, like, the team I play for or whoever's going to give me some backlash for that, or I could lose my job. So it's like a lot of people become scared to speak out because you don't want to lose your job or lose the comfort level or something that you become accustomed to.
I agree with you on that. I actually was just saying that. E, what were you going to say?
All right, so now here's the – all right, so the breakdown is that just like what they say about just a law of, like, war and stuff that they kind of used in slavery and stuff. So you don't want to give people nothing. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to have them like, I got nothing to lose anyway, because – then they start to strive for a certain purpose way too hard, no matter who it is, whether it's us as black folks or whoever, you know. So when they give – if you've been wondering why do they get these contracts to play something that they would be playing otherwise for free? Because, you know, with the status, the money, all of that, comes the admiration, and we're expecting them to be like – oh, well, yeah, this is wrong. You know what I mean? They're supposed to speak out for what they know. But now they thinking, all right, well, dang, I just got my family used to this lifestyle. I'm making this kind of money. I seen what happened to Main Man, you know, Colin. And, I can't deal with that only because of my family. Like, look, I don't know a person in this world that actually does care about their family that would literally stop food from going in their mouth. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them guys, they literally spent their whole life trying to get into the NFL.
Yeah.
Literally spent their – now, I don't agree with them being silent, so don't get me wrong, but I'm arguing the opposite side so, you know, we can get to the bottom of it. Now, if they spent their whole lives achieving a goal, now that they have it, would you step out of line and lose, you know, risk your stuff, you know, without thinking twice? Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I want my children to at least be able to say my dad was a stand-up guy. He stood up for what he believed in at any circumstance. So that's a big priority to me. But to them, they might be like, look, I don't care about me or my ideals. The food going in my family, feeding my family, taking care of my family outweighs all of that. So there's also an opposite side we got to look at.
That's true. And that's true. And I cannot agree with you, though. I cannot agree with you on that point, only because feeding your family, you also have to have morals and values as well. You also have to have some integrity as well. So when you actually go back and you look at your family's faces to explain to them, like, yo, I could have done the right thing, but I did the wrong thing to make you happy. They're going to look at you like you're an idiot at the end of the day anyway, because you gave up your morals, you gave up your value, you gave up your integrity for a check. So at the end of the day, we're still not happy. We're just making it work for amount of money, for something that's tangible. So at the end of the day, I cannot agree with that. You know, money cannot put an amount on happiness. Money does not make you happy. So for someone to say, yo, I got to feed my family, I got to do this, I got to do that, your family is still going to be unhappy, but yes, they're going to be fed. Tab, Kia,
I also want to say that it's not my point, though. That's not my point. I'm just saying that might be why they hesitate.
I get you. I said you. I love how you even put yourself on the opposite side, so we can have more dialect. I love that you just did that. But let's get somebody else into the conversation. TK, Tab, anybody else has something to say?
I was listening. I was steady listening. If okay. I do, I will let you know.
Okay. And what about you, Saudi? Did you have anything to say?
Can you hear me right now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think we have to stop telling ourselves that we can't make a living or provide for our families, you know, without selling out, in a sense. Like, I think our generation is proving every day that we can create our own opportunities and use those opportunities to speak out against social injustice. If you have a goal that you feel like would cause you to have to choose between providing for your family or speaking out against oppression or marginalization of oppressed people, I would say we would have to question what our goals are, and maybe we should reassess how it is that we want to be successful. If the career that I wanted to choose, you know, if it put me in a spot where I had to think, well, man, I have to choose between, you know, speaking out for people of color who are dealing with racial profiling or police brutality, if I have to choose between that and providing for my family, maybe that's not the route for me. And I think when we as of hurt people make a real social effort to make that intentional decision to say, I'm going to make a living while supporting my people or supporting any marginalized people, then we'll see actual change. But if we're constantly worried about, you know, well, oh, I'm not going to make money unless I, you know, go along to get along, then we're always going to end up in the space that we're in now. Millennials are proving every day that we don't have to go to people who don't care about our interests to make a living.
Definitely. I agree with that. Does anyone else have a comment? Because we do have to get on with the show. I love this conversation that we're having right now. Tab, did you want to piggyback up on anything?
Yeah, I just want to say, when I was confident enough to make sacrifices that would put us in a positive position. Like, I want to know us as a collective, like, everybody, down to the athletes, celebrities, citizens, everyday citizens, when are we going to make, we don't even have the confidence to make the conscious decision, make positive positions. And it's just all about our sacrifices. What are we willing to give up? And PLC, I have recommended you watch a video about fasting, the whole thing about fasting. What's the sacrifice? And you know that the greater thing that you give up, the bigger reward you're going to get. So, man, they're not ready.
I agree with you, and I think that I thank you guys also for tuning in the Revive platform and supporting the Revive platform, but I do have to wrap this up because I got to get to my next guest. But I agree with all you guys said. I love what you guys said. You know, you juice me, and then you probably juice all the listeners out there as well, and I appreciate that because like you said, Tab, it's something that you have to be ready to give up. Even Saudi, she said, like, for some people, they're just not cut out for it. You know what I mean? Some people are just not cut out to speak up and speak out. So that's why they stay silent. Just like E, he put himself on the other end of the perspective and said that, you know, some people out there literally are just in the game to feed their family. They waited all their lives to get here. You know what I mean? And no one's going to take that moment away. And the last thing that they're going to do is take it away from themselves. So that's why they're chilling. And like TK said, she said, you know, some people don't want to lose that money. Some people seriously just do not want to lose that money. They want to make sure that that contract is on and keep coming back and keep coming back. So I respect all of their opinions today, but we are going to go to a very quick commercial break so we can bring on our next guest. He's a sports commentator. I'm going to speak that into existence for him. He's a sports commentator. He's someone that knows the ins and the outs of the game, and I know for a fact he's going to drop some gems on us today here on Revive. So make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message right now. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, timeforanawakening.com/revive, or go directly to tune in. You can either download the app or just search the web. And you're going to hear me, your girl, PLC, live on each and every Winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is.
Everyone is sorry. Everyone says, I won't do it again. Bottom line, drinking under the age of 21 is illegal. Drinking and driving is illegal. It's the law. There are consequences. The consequences of driving under the influence are huge. You will do community service, lose your driver's license, get arrested, do jail time. If you get arrested for DUI, the costs to defend yourself are very expensive. Your parents can be forced to pay for lawsuits, legal fees, and damage to people or property. DUI can also ruin your chances to get into college or get a good job. The law doesn't stop at drinking and driving. If you're underage, there are consequences for buying alcohol with a fake ID, for being in possession of alcohol, and for any consumption of alcohol. Think twice. Don't drink. Don't drink and drive. Speak up.
Let me tell you who to blame. Blame the boy lying at your feet, his body oozing life through the hole in his stomach where the bullet tore him apart. Blame him for challenging you, for not looking away and for not backing down when you pulled out the gun. Blame your mother for bringing you into this world when she was but a kid herself and for dragging you up, not bringing you up. Blame society for not giving you hope. Blame your father for not being there, the man who looked after himself instead of looking after you. Blame the gun in your hand for making you a target, for making you more likely to be picked on. Blame the dead boy, blame your mother, blame society, blame your father, blame the gun, blame anyone but yourself for not being strong enough to put down the gun, to break the cycle.
It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is.
Open up your ears.
You know what time it is.
Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC.
Welcome to Revive. Definitely, we are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. We are here on this winning Wednesday edition of Revive, talking everything sports. Today's show is entitled Statement of the Game, you guys. How are you making a statement to the game right now? Whatever sport that you choose to play, how are you making a statement? A statement to the game right now. And I know our next guest on Revive is making so many different statements when it comes to sports, because he is commentating the ins and the outs of sports every time he gets a chance to, man. That's why I'm excited to have him on the Revive show today, because I know he's educated and he's going to bring a wealth of knowledge to us here on the Revive platform. Yo, Sherrar, who do we have coming up on the Revive platform?
On the Revive platform, we have Troy Wilmore. Troy is a veteran radio talk show producer, host, and remote engineer for 25 years. Troy has worked with the legends of Philadelphia, including Cody Anderson, Georgie Woods, and many, many more. Troy is a proud Philadelphian, born and raised. Troy attended Winfield Academy, Overbrook High School, and Temple University. He is currently the senior producer of Reality Check, hosted by Charles Ellison from 4 to 7 p.m., Monday through Thursday on 900 AM and 96.1 FM Word Radio in Philadelphia. Welcome, Troy, to the Revive platform.
Thank you for the invitation.
I'm excited to be talking with you today, Troy. I know you're going to give us some information, some knowledge when it comes to this sports and how sports is definitely influencing the culture.
I appreciate it. But first, let me say before you get started, I'm so proud of you, POC, because I remember way back when you first got started and how you just took the torch and you just running strong, and the people that you've surrounded yourself with and the listeners and your followers are building up. So I know that I'll be able to sit back on the porch one day with a glass of lemonade and say, I remember her when. So keep it up, and anything I can do to help pass on the same knowledge that the greats that I listed in my bio gave to me, I want to pass on to you and anyone else.
Man, Troy, I thank you for the things that you poured into me, from teaching me how to do the board, teaching me the simple things of how to wrap a cord around the microphone. You know what I mean? Like, it is a technique to it, and you actually taught me how to do different things, man. I appreciate you, because now I'm able to come and do this thing on my own. So I appreciate everything that you put into me when I was at WRD. It means a lot. Thank you, Troy.
No problem, man. You're doing it big, so let's keep it going.
Definitely. So we're talking sports, man. I want to first talk about that. I want to talk about something, you know, something small, something real petty. How do you feel about that Kyrie and LeBron drama that's going on right now with the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I don't understand what Kyrie is thinking. I mean, you have one of the greats of all time that is willing to mentor you and be there and help you get there, and he needs your help as well. I mean, it's a mutual thing where they need each other in order to win. I mean, that's one of the best 1-2 punches in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And for him to want to leave somewhere, I don't know where he's going to go and if that's going to be a better fit for him. So, I mean, if he decides to leave, you know, it doesn't matter to me, because I'm a Sixers fan anyway. But, so, you know, good luck to him.
What do you think it was? What was his reasoning for leaving?
I don't know. I think it's just one of those things. People called him his little brother, and maybe he just wanted to be his own man. I mean, I wouldn't look at that as an insult. You know, if I had LeBron as a big brother on and off the court, somebody that could mentor me and give me the guidance to possibly be in that conversation of one of the greatest ever, I mean, why wouldn't you want to sit at his feet and just absorb all that knowledge that he has?
Definitely. Do you see him fitting in anywhere else in the NBA as a point guard?
I mean, there are a couple teams out there that could probably use his help. You know, it's just one of those things we have to wait and see, because, you know, coaches come in with their own systems and they have to see if Kyrie will fit. So that's one of the things we have to wait and see.
Definitely. Do you think that, you know, by him even having the notion of leaving, do you think that that started during the playoffs and that's where, you know, they kind of went wrong towards the end?
No, I just think Golden State just had their number. I mean, when they added Kevin Durant, I knew it was going to be tough for anybody in the Eastern Conference. And if I had any money to wager, I definitely probably would have wagered on Golden State. So, I mean, Golden State was just locked and loaded. They had all the weapons to win the war, and they won again.
Definitely. They definitely won again. Do you think they have the chance of winning this time around as well in 2018?
I haven't looked at the pickups yet from the trades and free agency yet. So, I mean, I'll wait a couple more weeks before I come out with a prediction.
What about that Carmelo Anthony trade? Do you think he should be leaving the Knicks?
Yeah, I think it's a little stale over there for him and the Knicks. And I think Phil Jackson messed that team up. So now they have to rebuild, which is fine with me because our Sixers are on the way up. So, you know, let the Knicks suffer. Hopefully Boston will suffer and everybody else. And
you
Sixers
fly.
Can sneak in there. Yeah, Sixers can sneak in there and become a playoff contender.
Yeah, almost made it to the playoffs this time around. Almost. Very, very.
Yeah, almost.
On the crust. You know,
we've had a few more players here. So, you know, it's time for the Sixers to get rolling.
What about that Los Angeles pickup? With Ball.
Which how one?
The ball pickup.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where rookies come in, they have to learn their place. They can't just come in and think that they're, you know, the heir apparent to being the captain of the team and the leader. So they have to come in and learn the system. They have to learn to play with other guys around them. You know, it's different when you're in college when you're the man. But when you come into the pros and people are already established veterans, they're not going to take no junk from somebody that's 19, 20 years old, you know, fresh out of college. So he has to earn his way. But it's going to be interesting to see.
What about his dad? How do you feel about his dad, LaVar Ball? You know, he talks big. You know, he talks big money. He talks heavyweight. Every time he speaks, he's speaking of something like his child is going to be that next, you know, Michael Jordan. His child is going to be that next, you know, NBA superstar. How do you feel about that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think that's something that everybody should have is somebody in their corner backing them up, you know, 1,000%. And that's one of the things that his dad does. I mean, he's out there and he's trying to be the PR machine for him. And he's keeping the money in the family, so why not? I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Definitely, that generational wealth. I definitely believe in that.
That's right.
One. Definitely. And how much did he get for that shoe? What did he get, like $900, $800 for one pair of shoe? Like,
I don't know. Some astronomical number that makes no sense because the cost of the shoe is way below that. So, yes. I mean, you know, anytime they mark those sneakers up, it's just a ripoff.
Definitely. I was like, yo, what is going on in the NBA right now? Like, and I agree with, I like how he did it. He was like, we don't need a Nikes. We don't need an Adidas. We can go create it ourselves. So I love that energy. Definitely, I love that energy. And I hope other athletes pick up that energy as well. All right. But I also, you made a comment about Kevin Durant earlier. Did you see that auction that ESPN put out yesterday?
Yes, I did, and I don't know what they were thinking. My first question is are there no African-Americans on the writing team? Nobody in the higher-ups? Nobody that would have to approve that? Nobody at the water cooler saying, hey, we're going to do this auction, and this is what it's going to look like?
Oh,
I mean, are there
gosh.
No African-Americans at ESPN?
They all were white, Troy. I mean,
I know. That's what I'm talking about. The entire audience, everybody was white. There were no blacks anywhere to be found, or any minorities for that matter. So my question is, what's going on at ESPN? Is it 99.9% white?
It gotta be. It has to be, though. Yo, Chori, they printed off these athletes' faces, right, and pasted them to popsicle sticks, man, and said, are you guys going to buy these athletes for $5? They started the bid off, Chori, at $5. $5, man. How disrespectful can it be? Like, honestly, and I don't even get the point. What was the point? Can you explain to me what the point was?
I missed the point, too, and I don't know if there was one. It was ridiculous.
It was honestly truly ridiculous. And Kevin Durant actually spoke up about it, and that's the question of the day. Do you feel as though that athletes should speak up and also speak out about injustice that's going on, you know, outside of the arena? And that's one. I completely agree that that was something, I'm going to say racist. That was super racist on ESPN, and they didn't even speak up about it. All they did was, you know, send out a tweet. They did it over Twitter, too, man. Donald Trump started started a trend. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, anybody that is an American citizen has the right to free speech. So, you know, athlete or non-athlete, they have the opportunity to make speeches anytime, you know, Twitter, Facebook, however they want to present it, to voice their opinions and really galvanize a society to really speak up about the injustices that are going on. And that's what Colin Kaepernick did. He just continued the legacy that's been going on way back, you know, to Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, the late great Johnny Sample. And so many others. I mean, we can be here for the next 20 minutes naming all of the ancestors, you know, living and deceased, mm-hmm. who actually, you know, put their lives on the line and spoke up about injustices. So, you know, LeBron's doing it now. You know, hopefully more will learn and look back at the history and continue that legacy.
Definitely. So do you agree with everything that's going on with the NFL boycott? Do you think that that's something that should be, you know, respected? That's something that people should actually take serious?
The NFL boycott is an interesting thing, and I was thinking about this. You know, people I heard in the previous segment, they were talking about, you know, every athlete should just pull up from their respective leagues and start their own. And there's a couple issues with that. The first one is you need to have somewhere to perform. So you need, at, you know, arenas or stadiums or different venues. Most of the owners own their venues. So if you're leaving the league, they're not going to let you into their venue. So that's the first problem. The second problem is the NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, it's a big, big business. But the problem with that is you see the athletes, you see the owners. You also have to look at everybody else who makes money when they're in season. Security guards, parking lot attendants, concessions, vendors, cheerleaders, entertainment, technicians. I mean, there's a long list of people that could be economically impacted if athletes decide to just pull up. Mm. As far as a boycott, I think there are ways that we can have a boycott effectively in any league when there's an injustice, such as the case with Colin Kaepernick. So there are ways where I think that people can submit, you know, what they want to have done as far as Kaepernick getting a shot and really let these people know, like, hey, why is he not playing? You know, this is the reason why he should be playing. And there are ways I think we can do it. So I think a boycott definitely can be effective.
Do you think that it's going to affect the NFL, though? Do you think that's going to affect, like you said, that's big business. Do you think that that's going to affect their big business, or do you think that they'll still be able to thrive and, you know, move on?
I mean, I think it can affect. I mean, we had the bus boycott back in the day. So, I mean, therefore, you know, in 2017 with social media, it definitely can have an impact. So I think, you know, once the sponsors are identified, just let them have it. You know, let the pizza companies know, the gas companies, the car companies, you know, the chip companies, everybody know, hey, listen, we're not buying your products, as great as they are, until we get an answer to why Colin Kaepernick is not in the league.
Yo, you just broke it down. It's so many different things that could be boycotted other than just the NFL itself. That is so true, because you got Gatorade, you got Hertz Chips, you got, you know, so many other, you know, especially during the NFL when it comes like Super Bowl time and all those commercials that want to be played. You know, that's money for the NFL. That's money for the commercials. So if people just stop watching or stop, you know, putting that money into the NFL, that is actually true, Troy. You just made me think 10 times harder about that, definitely. But do you?
I mean, you can watch the games, but I'm just saying, as far as the sponsorship, when that commercial comes on for that pizza, that potato chip, that car, the jewelry, the clothes, whatever, don't buy it, you know? And then you just have that social media campaign just flooding their office saying, listen, I'm not buying those great chips that you have because of Colin Kaepernick. I'm not buying that great pizza you have because of Colin Kaepernick. And I mean, it'll happen.
That makes sense. I hope people out there listening to you, because you just dropped a super gem right there, definitely, because I'm thinking off of that one, definitely. And okay. Also, when it even comes down to boycotting the NFL, what does that even truly mean? Does that mean just not turning on the TV and watching it? Does that mean, like, not going to get, you know, season tickets? Like, what does that actually mean, not buying the jerseys? How, like, what does that mean to you when people say boycott the NFL? What does that actually mean?
Well, that's what I've heard. I mean, I've heard, you know, people not going to the games, buying season tickets, watching the games, sponsorship, clothing, anything that the NFL has anything to do with, people are trying to stay away from. Like I said, I can watch the game, but I'm conscious enough and smart enough to know what drives that engine, what drives that machine, and that's the sponsors. So like I said, if I don't have those chips for 3 months and pizza and don't have a fancy new car, I don't have that new T-shirt for my Eagles who's going to make it to the playoffs this year, okay, so be it, you know. And I just had to keep spreading that message, like, look, you know, that pizza's good, but I'm going to get some pizza from somewhere else. I might make my own pizza. So that's what people have to understand. As far as season tickets, I mean, for a family of four, the price for season tickets is astronomical. So it's not going to be too many people from West Philly, North Philly, Southwest Philly that go to the games. I mean, I've been to the games because as a member of the press, I get to go in for free. And not too many people that I've seen from West Philly and North Philly and Southwest going to those games. A lot of those cars are coming over the bridge from Jersey, you know, Montgomery, Bucks, Delaware County. Because if you listen to the traffic reports, they tell you where the backups are coming from. So we already know it's not coming from 58th and Baltimore or 22nd and Diamond. I mean, we know what it is. And when you look at TV, you see it. So it's not too many people in the inner city that are going to those games.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. And another question, this might be an ignorant question, but I want to know for my personal self. Does tailgating make money? Do people make money off of tailgating?
Well, yeah, when you go to the store, I mean, you're going to buy, you know, all the equipment, whether it's charcoal, you know, the tents, the chairs, you know, lighter fluid, all that stuff that you go to the store and spend $300-$400 on. So, I mean, it'll give a bump to the local supermarkets and things of that nature.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I see a lot of people doing that. A lot of people get, like, you know, hyped up and pumped to just tailgate. Even if they're not actually going inside of the arena, they just get excited to go do the tailgating action. So I just wanted to know, like, is that something that brings them, you know, some kind of compensation too as well? So what about if they
do it in the parking
lot? No,
I mean, because you have to pay
for
parking. So, I mean, that's one of the things I find interesting. If you're going to go tailgate, you might as well go to the game. Because tailgating and not going to the game is just a little weird to me. But, yeah, because I was down there last year. Working for a tailgating party, and just to see the people with the RVs and the grills and all the food, beverages, clothing. I mean, it's just it's big money.
I definitely, I know it's big money. That's all I wanted to know. Like, do the NFL teams, or do like the people who own the arenas, do they get any kind of compensation off those people, you know, eating up all those parking spots with those RVs and grills and cookouts and things like that? That's what I wanted to know, definitely. But before we get on our next topic, I do have one more question for the NFL. You know, with all the head injuries and concussions and things that are coming out, and showing that, you know, owners and trainers and doctors have known this for a very long time, how is that affecting the NFL now?
Well, it's definitely affecting it, because people are scared. You know, a parent of an 8, 9, 10-year-old may not want their son to play because, and you see the long-term effects of it. But one of the things I think that, unfortunately, and this is where we talk about racism and bigotry and just not wanting to give people of color their props. There is a dentist that I met several years ago, a friend of mine who stopped me from being in radio, named Dr. Ed Williams. He made a mouthpiece, and I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but it was a special mouthpiece where it wouldn't allow the head to be jarred around with that concussion whiplash movement. I think it's called the whiplash. I'm not even sure, but I'm telling you, they said this mouthpiece can cut down on concussions probably 70-80%. The NFL doesn't want to recognize it because it's made by African-American man.
Wow.
They can help their own product.
And they don't even choose to. That's crazy. So what is that actually called? What is that? What is what they're diagnosing people, you know, who have these concussions? What is that actually called?
CTE. And that's just, it's, you know, one of those acronyms that come out whenever there's a medical condition. It's called chronic traumatic I can't even pronounce the word, but that's why they call it CTE. It's a degenerative brain disease that athletes and military veterans get, because your head, your brain is bouncing around inside your skull.
That is crazy. And they have already diagnosed a couple people who are still in the NFL, or people who have retired from the NFL with this disease?
Well, the latest report that I heard is that they found it in 110 out of 111 former football players' brain.
Yo, give me that number.
So they're not really sure if it's in today's players, but they know it's in players that have played before. So it's 110 out of 111 former football players' brains.
So one out of every 111 people are going to be free of this disease, and everyone else may get it or may not get it.
Yeah, the numbers are just astronomical.
That is absurd.
It's off the charts.
And what happens, like, it's like a long-term effect from this disease, or is it something that happens instantly? Like, how does it affect you as a person?
Well, according to the CTE Center at Boston University, they say it can cause symptoms including headaches, disorientation, memory loss, erratic behavior, movement disorders, and increased suicidal thoughts. I mean, that right there, I mean, it's almost like the small print on any drug that you buy from, you know, your local drugstore after you have a medical procedure. So something like this ought to be on the back of a helmet, you know, when you get ready to go sign your contract for the NFL.
That is so true. That is so, because at the end of the commercial, when they, you know, they're trying to sell you something on TV and then they talk real fast about what could happen to you, that's exactly what you just sound like, Troy, especially when you said suicidal thoughts. Playing football, getting hit in the head can make me want to, you know, in a long-term effect, actually want to go kill myself because of the amount of brain damage that I receive from being a professional athlete.
Right.
That's crazy. And to know that they know this information and they're not doing anything about it. So when was the last time, I'm not sure if you know this question, but when was the last time that they actually reconstructed the helmet or, you know, made some kind of changes towards the helmet to make sure that they can prevent it in any kind of way?
Well, the helmets have definitely gotten better over the years. I mean, we're not dealing with the leather helmets from back in the 20s and 30s. Because I remember a few years ago when DeSean Jackson was with the Eagles, he had a few concussions and his helmet was modified. So I think they're constantly looking at keeping, you know, trying to keep the players as safe as possible and just trying to improve the technology.
So do you add like an extra layer to the helmet or do you add more pads inside the helmet?
Yeah, you're adding padding and it's different materials on the outside. It's just, it's a whole lot that they add to it to try to make things better.
Definitely. Do you think football is the new American sport or do you think baseball still the new is the American sport?
Yeah, I still think baseball is America's pastime. I think it always will be because it's been around for so long. And, I mean, it's the longest sport that is played in a calendar year because you're talking spring training in February, and then now they're almost going into November with the World Series. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking 10 months out of the year. It's just a grind. So you're talking about 162 games regular season plus playoffs. You're talking almost 200 games a year. You know, whereas the NFL is 16, the NBA is 82, you know, so it's still going to be America's game, always.
Wow, you just broke something that I did not know they were playing over 200 games a season. That's probably why they're the highest paid athletes, because they're playing the most games, you think, or that has nothing to do with it?
I just think it's just the legacy. I just think it's that something that's been around forever and people enjoy it. And, you know, singing the song, take me out to the ball game, you sit out there and it's not really a hard game to play. Some people call it boring because it seems to take forever. But when you get down to the science of baseball and the coaching philosophies behind it, people love it.
I know people love it. I know for a fact people love it. People tailgate for baseball games, too. That's something that I had to learn myself growing up. Like, yo, people actually really take baseball extremely serious. Definitely. So I want to get into the NCAA now, and I'm going to speak directly to basketball with the NCAA, right?
Okay.
Do you think, well, no, in general, this is a general question about the NCAA, actually. Do you think that the athletes, these college athletes, are overworked and underpaid?
I definitely think they're overworked and underpaid. I mean, student athletes, they do kind of get a raw deal because you're trying to maintain your studies as well as go out and perform, and you have to train and go to the trainers. You know, you have to go to coaching. It's so much that goes on in the life of a student athlete. That's why one of the reasons why a lot of people want to see them get paid. But there are a lot of reasons why they shouldn't get paid, you know, and that's something that I don't think some people look at.
But the NCAA is a nonprofit organization, if I'm correct.
I believe they are.
Yeah, so if they're a nonprofit organization, Troy, and they're getting so much profit off of what they're doing, some kind of compensation should be kicked back, whether it's to their family. 9 times out of 10, most of them, not all of them, are getting their education paid for. So that's cool. You know, that $60,000 they don't have to worry about at the end of the 4 years. But not all of them always make it to that fourth year. You know what I mean? God forbid someone goes out there and tear their ACL. God forbid someone goes out there and, you know, breaks their or hurts their Achilles or anything of that nature. They won't be able to be re-signed or get back on the team, because when it comes to college athletes, you can be replaced very, very quick. You know what I mean? And the coach allows you to know that you can be replaced very, very quick. So for them to put all their time, effort, body, schooling, all that to the front line, why shouldn't they get paid though?
Well, the first thing is you have to realize they're student athletes. So they're going to college because they're athletically inclined. But they're also book smart to a certain degree, because you have to be eligible, especially in high school, in order to stay on the team. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things when I was coaching in the summer league, I always let my players know, listen, you have to be book smart because it's time for you to go to school. And if you go to get on the team and you play for a year or two and God forbid you do blow your knee out or some other injury, you need to have those book smarts to fall back on. So they're going to pay for you to come to their university to get an education. And you have to play for them. You know, granted, they are going to make money off of you, but at the same time, you can make money when you go to school for free, because whether you're an athlete for 12 years after you get out of college, or if you decide that you don't want to play anymore, you get your degree in, you know, mechanical engineering or something, and you do make, you know, a pretty good living. You may not make $8 million, $10 million a year, but you still can make enough to keep your family, you know, fed.
I agree there. I agree with you, Troy. We do have a caller on the line. Maybe they have a question for you, so I want to see what they're going to say. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Drew. I'm from the Germantown area of the city. I just heard about, you know, the conversation that you guys were having, and I just don't think that there should be much of an obligation, given that, like, you know, this is a profession of yours. And
you're referring to the question of the day, Drew?
I just think that, you know what I mean? Like, given that it's a job, really an athlete's only obligation is to put the ball in the hoop or to do whatever it is that their sport requires, I feel. Now, if they should they choose to speak out, then by all means, like, go for it. And I don't think that they should get much backlash as a result, because, I mean, as a private citizen, you're allowed to talk about issues that you that are important to you. But is there a responsibility or a duty? I don't think that that is necessarily the case. I don't know if I just barged in out of nowhere or what part of the conversation you guys are really having right now, but I just wanted to share that quick little.
No, so I want to piggyback on what you were saying, actually, because you were referring. I wanted to know if you were referring to the question of the day or what Troy was just talking about. So you're referring to speaking up and speaking out, you know, as a athlete when it comes to injustice going on outside of the arena. You're saying that they're not obligated to speak up.
Yeah, by no means. I mean, I feel like a lot of people. I don't know if you're a member of a particular community that's getting a lot of heat. Whether it's a national conversation that's being had or a local conversation that you feel like that you can relate to as a private citizen, then by all means, you know what I mean? Go for it, speak on it, because you do have that platform too. So if you choose to seize that platform and see that as an opportunity to shed light on something, by all means, go for it. But I do think that there are people out here who, like, look at, I don't know, let's say Colin Kaepernick, right? And in a way, he's turning into a martyr. And I mean, I for one support what he's doing, and I'm here for, you know, his stance and his position on issues. But for the social justice warriors out there who are like, where are the rest of the athletes to co-sign him? It's kind of like, if they choose to really just, you know, collect their paycheck and do what they got to do, and still stand to pledge their allegiance or whatever, like, they don't really have to, you know, co-sign him if they don't want to.
That makes sense. That's
kind of where I'm at with it.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense, because, you know, you're there to do a job and you're just there to do the job. If that's what you're there to do, that's what you're getting paid to do. So that's what you're pretty much saying. If I'm here to do a job, I'm here to get paid to do a job, I'm just going to get paid and go about my business.
Certainly. That's where I'm at with it. If they choose to speak up as private citizens, then certainly. And if they want to use whatever platform they have, such as Twitter, you know, I know, like, LeBron, you know, he spoke up on, you know, what's happening right now with you know, DTJ, I don't say his name. He's not my president. I don't even give him his full title. But, yeah, like, go for it. Use Twitter. Use whatever. But if you really just don't want to protest, if you really don't want to ruffle any feathers and just do what you got to do, then by all means,
all right,
feed your kids and go on.
So, Drew, before I let you go, I do have one quick question. Troy, I'm coming right back to you, but I just gotta get to this guest. Drew, so I got a question. Yeah. Me and Troy were just talking about the NCAA sports and how, you know, athletes are not being paid, but they're being overworked. So what about players who are not being paid, you know, and doing the exact same sports? Do you feel as though they should be speaking up?
Oh, man. I don't know. When I think of college athletes, I think of unpaid internships, and I think that neither of them, like, should coexist. I don't think that, you know, unpaid internships should exist, and I don't think that college athletes shouldn't be, like, I think they should be getting paid for all the amount of promotion that they have to do, for, you know, like, the interviews and all that kind of stuff that they have to, all the work that they have to put in. They should be getting paid for what they do. So when it comes to issues like this, I don't know. I think that there's a student leader aspect of, you know, being an athlete or being a, you know, prominent leader on your campus, to where there are definitely students looking up to you. And again, if a person chooses to speak on it, then go for it, and they should be supported and encouraged to do so. But again, I don't think that, you know, your position or your title kind of should dictate dictate the conversation that you're having, unless you really chose to be, like, you know, a politician, or if you chose to be, like, you know, a person who represents a group of people. So athletes, again, like, should they speak up? I don't think that it's my place to really say what anybody should do. You just have a jersey on. But is there a bit of a responsibility? Maybe.
I like that, word.
You know,
I like that word, Drew. I like that word. Responsibility, accountability, it all ties into the same. So at the end of the day, I think they have a responsibility, and they should hold themselves accountable for making sure that they use their platforms in a right way that we can, you know, be, so we can see them as relatable. Because, you know, we see them as untouchable. We put them on this pedestal that we feel as though we can't reach. But once they come and do something like a Colin Kaepernick and seem so relatable, like, yo, he's standing with the struggle that we as everyday people feel. You know, he was getting a check.
Yeah.
He was a billionaire, you know what I mean? So he didn't have to stoop down to an everyday life level and say, you know what, I'm going to speak out on injustice. Because he wasn't, even to throw this in there, he's a multi-race person at the same time. He's a multi-race human being. He has like a white mom and a black dad or reverse. I'm not sure, you know, with how it went. But I'm just saying that at the end of the day, he's speaking up from both sides of the spectrum. So at the same time, he's being scrutinized by black and white. So at the end of the day, I feel like he's holding himself to self-accountability for things that he's doing. And he's using his platform, you know, for people to know that we are reachable too. We are relatable as, you know, professional athletes. So I love what he's doing.
Definitely. I think that with him, like, or with him and really anybody else, like, if you choose to put your neck out there like that, like, hey, I mean, I think that it would be naive to think that he doesn't or didn't expect some sort of backlash, like, obviously. But I think, like, if you're going to put your neck out there, that person should really be, like, celebrated and supported. Like, if you're not here for that kind of content, then by all means, like, just keep your mouth shut. I don't know, like, kind of mind your business. For somebody who's willing to, you know, take their platform or make it more than sports, more than, you know, what it is that they do, then go for it. Like, why not rally behind that person? As long as they're not out here hurting nobody, right? Like, I'm sure you guys must have touched on, you know, the other athletes who are literally, like, convicted of beating their wives, right? Like, who have literally, like, actually hurt people and don't have to go through, like, you know, being a martyr,
like the,
or being or
like
being
the,
you know, exiled.
Troy, so this, I appreciate you, Drew. Thank you for coming, because you actually just
Drew's. No,
I appreciate your support and coming on the Revive platform tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to stay tuned in. Thank you.
No doubt. Troy, that what he just said actually makes me think even more. Remember the New England Patriot that just took his life as well, the quarterback that took his life after he took someone else's life? He murdered two people. That was a great point that he just made. He murdered two, I mean, suspectedly murdered two people. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I'm not going to try to make the man guilty or whatever. Aaron Hernandez, that's his name, Aaron Hernandez. So, like, that plays a toll on people. You know, people didn't speak up and speak out about that either.
Well, I mean, that's a different case. I mean, you're talking about somebody who had alleged gang ties and still never really got out of that gang life and still had gang tattoos and things like that. So, you know, it's a little cloudy on that whole situation with him. And then there were, you know, a lot of rumors that he didn't hang himself. He wouldn't have done that, you know, because he had just got acquitted, I believe, of the charges.
So
and there were some other
check.
Issues that were going on there. He was found not guilty. So there's some, you know, a lot of cloudiness going on with that.
It was a lot of cloudiness going on, and a lot of people speculated too that he committed suicide because the money situation. It was like a clause in the contract or something like that, so the money went directly to his daughter. Do you believe in that, you know, that conspiracy that came out?
Oh yeah, I mean, anytime you have a contract, unless you actually see the writing on the contract, you know, people will say anything about it, and that could be it. I mean, that could be a clause that's in the contract. You know, if unfortunately, you know, you die before such and such an age, you know, his daughter would be the beneficiary. So that's possible.
Definitely. So that just made me think a little bit, too. I'm like, yo, it was just a quarterback who was out here killing people. I think that that's crazy. Definitely, I think that that's crazy. But before I let you go, Troy, and I thank you for coming on the Revive platform as well, I want to touch on this Mayweather fight that's coming up next week. How you feeling about this Mayweather fight, man? He's about to fight a UFC fighter. Man, this man, but the only thing is, this guy cannot kick. And he's used to kicking, like, because I try to watch some of his fights, and that's his go-to. His go-to is that spin back kick thing that he does, and he's not able to do that in a boxing ring. So how do you think that this is going to play out?
It's going to be interesting. A lot of people have talked about this Mayweather Conor McGregor fight by being a boxing exhibition match is the first part of it, and then recently the Nevada State Athletic Commission said today that they can wear 8-ounce gloves. Now, one of the things they said about it is that it may benefit Conor McGregor because he's used to wearing 4-ounce gloves with the open fingers. This case will have 8-ounce gloves with a closed fist. So that'll give him maybe somewhat of an advantage. That's what some people seem to think. I don't really think so. I still think Floyd Mayweather, you know, still has it. He's been retired twice. He's never lost a fight. He's never really been hurt, never really been knocked down. His body is probably in great shape. And if you keep your body in great shape as a boxer, you can fight until you're close to, you know, 50 years of age as long as you don't get hurt. You know, and that's one of the things that Floyd has never really been hurt. McGregor is younger, you know, he's a little crazy to me, and he's used to, you know, grappling and kicking and wrestling. So I don't know how they did his training, if they try to tie his feet together, you know, what his boxing background is like. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm not spending $100 for it, I tell you that right now.
Definitely. Definitely, I'm with you on that one, Troy. And also, so you made something. You made a great point about. You said something about the 8-ounce gloves. How much do they normally weigh when they're fighting?
A standard is 10-ounce gloves. You know, so I mean, you know, 2 ounces here, 2 ounces there. I don't know if it's going to make that
but
much.
Why?
Difference.
Why do you think they made a change for this fight?
Well, according to Floyd Mayweather's camp, this is where the psychology of sports comes into play. Because they want to make Conor McGregor very happy, very comfortable, very confident going into the fight. So when Floyd destroys him, they can't say that, you know, you didn't have this, you didn't have that. So Floyd doesn't have a problem giving him all the stipulations that he wants. And Floyd just has that confidence that he's going to take his head off.
Oh, so Floyd was so McGregor was like, I need an 8-ounce glove. And Floyd was like, sure, it doesn't even make a difference.
Exactly.
I did not know that. Do you think that this is going to be like the fight of 2017? Do you think that this is going to be the fight of the year?
Probably. You know, probably, because you're coming up on September. You know, it's the end of August when this fight is going to take place next Saturday. You know, I don't know if there are any other big fights that are coming up before the end of the year. And depending on how it ends, you know, that'll be the other reason why people will say it's the fight of the year. I mean, if McGregor gets destroyed in one round or Mayweather, you know, miraculously loses in 3 rounds, you know, it depends.
Do you think when it comes to boxing, do you think that they're like all about the money? I feel like they're all about the money. Every boxer, in my opinion, all they talk about is money, money, money. I don't even think that they talk about the sport, you know, how you can become a professional boxer, anything like that anymore. I think all they really do is talk about the money now. Do you think that that has put a lot of stipulations on, you know, boxing?
Well, I mean, boxing is a very tough sport. I mean, you have to look at the training that goes in. You know, you're talking 6 to 8 weeks away from your family, a very strict diet, you know, constantly training, watching film. So, you know, the mental part of it and then the physical part you put your body through is tremendous. And then, you know, if you decide to go in the ring and you last for 3 rounds at a time in a 12-round fight, you're talking 36 minutes. If you're getting hit, if you're not getting hit, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. So I can understand why, you know, boxers talk about money. And unfortunately, there have been a lot of boxers who have lost their lives in the ring. So you never know. The next fight could be your last. You could have, you know, a career-ending injury. You know, this whole thing with the CTE, with the concussions going back to the NFL is another piece of it now. So if you're a fighter and you are blessed to go 35-0 with 30 KOs and you make $200 million, you know, you have generational wealth right there. So I can understand why, you know, boxers are talking about the money.
Just a guesstimate, Troy. How much money do you think they're about to make off this fight?
I don't know. I've heard, you know, anywhere up to about $200 million. But my thing is, if that's what the fighters are making, what are the promoters going to make?
Oh, my gosh. $200 million a piece or $200 million they're going to have to split?
Well, $200 million total. I think Floyd is guaranteed $100 million.
Oh, my God. Just for putting on the gloves?
Yeah, but once again, like I said, 6 to 8 weeks of training and doing public relations and studying film and trying to see if you can find a weakness. Because keep in mind, you're talking about a boxer versus a mixed martial artist. So it's a little bit harder, I think, for Floyd to study, you know, McGregor, when McGregor can study Floyd maybe a little bit easier because he's doing one thing. In mixed martial arts, you have several different disciplines that you can use. So you don't know what you're looking at. It could be jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai. But Floyd is boxing, left hand, right hand, jab, uppercut, you know, hook. It's a little bit easier, I think, for McGregor to study. Doesn't mean that it's going to make it easier for McGregor to win. It's just easier for him to study. You can study all day long and still lose.
Definitely. So before I let you go, Troy, I got one last question. Who you think going to be the quick one? Like, because, you know, Floyd's thing is that he's quick, he's fast, he's always on his feet. But McGregor, he's also quick, fast, and he can move. You know what I mean? That's how he be winning all the UFC fights that he wins. So who you think going to be that quick, that fast person in the ring that day?
Well, if I had to put 50 Cent on it, I think I probably would put it on Floyd Mayweather. You know, Mayweather's been in these big money fights before. He's been in the spotlight. He's done it for, you know, several years, a lot longer than McGregor. His body seems to be, you know, pretty good. And I just think Floyd can do it.
Do you think any one of them will retire, let's say, because, you know, they both are like, you know, chest stuck all the way out. You know, their heads are so big. Both of their heads are so big. Do you think that any one of them would just, you know, go down and say, I'm not fighting anymore if they lose to each other?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, you're looking at, you know, a boxer versus a mixed martial artist. So that dynamic right there is making this very interesting. But you also have to look at the outcome of the fight. If Mayweather can beat McGregor with no problems, whether it's a knockout or a decision, I can see McGregor saying, okay, I'm going back to mixed martial arts. But if McGregor lucks up and beats Floyd, whether it's a decision or by a knockout, Floyd may say, look, I want to get a rematch. You know, I want to prove that, you know, I had a bad night or whatever excuse he may use. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends on the outcome.
Definitely. You made some sense here, Troy, and I appreciate you once again for giving us your commentary when it comes to sports, because we talked about all kinds of sports. You definitely dropped some knowledge with baseball for me, too, as well. So I appreciate that, Troy. If you can go ahead and get people a shout-out to how they can find more information about you, if they want you to come on their show to do some sports commentary, how can they find you? I couldn't hear you, Troy. You were kind of breaking up. Oh, man. I don't know what's going on with that man phone. Definitely. Well, we kind of lost Troy at the end. You know, I got the producer over me like, yo, you got to wrap up. We don't know what was that. What was that? Definitely. Hold on. We're going to try to get him back one more time. Yo, Troy, you out there? Oh, we lost him. We definitely lost him. But definitely, you can follow Troy on Twitter. We have him on Twitter right now. If you follow our timeline on both Facebook and Twitter, at Revive_POC, you can go and look him up. Or on our Twitter, I think it's just at Troy Whitmore. Yes, it's just Troy Wilmore. I'm sorry, Troy Wilmore on Twitter right now. I don't have his Facebook handle. We kind of lost his connection. But shout out to Troy for coming on the Revive platform and supporting us, man. Today was an incredible show. We got a lot of great feedback when it comes to sports. Maybe we need to talk about sports a little bit more often on Revive, because we got a lot of great feedback today with our guests and also our callers who called in. I respect everyone who called in to give us their opinion, you know, humble opinion, their honest opinion that was truthful. We got a lot of people who, you know, was on the opposing side that's saying, yes, I'm with it. They should definitely speak out. And then we got a lot of people on the other side that's like, no, they shouldn't speak out. They just need to get that check and go home just like we do at our regular jobs. Something happened throughout the day. You're like, yo, nah, I don't got time today, Jesus. Like, I just don't got time. I'm just going to take it, and I'm just going to go home. I'm going to get this check, and I'm just going to go home. And that's what people feel, that they should just be going home and getting them checks. But I don't agree with that, man. I feel like if you got a platform that people are watching and paying attention to every day, if you have that kind of following, man, you should definitely be putting back into the community. You should definitely be putting back into the people who are putting into your pockets. You should definitely be doing that. True Heart just found out some great news today. I cannot believe I let this one slip. Yo, it's 10 o'clock and we let this one slip. Yo, who birthday is it today, True Heart? Who birthday is it today, True Heart?
Auntie Maxine, happy birthday, Maxine Waters. We love you and we appreciate you, and keep doing your thing and fight the good fight. And make sure that y'all keep this lovely lady in your thoughts and prayers, because just she needs to be protected at all times, because she's really putting up a good fight and she will continue to do so.
Definitely. And I'm going to reclaim her time right now here today, because you kind of sort of disrespected her. You just said Maxine Waters. There's something that comes before that. You know how like every doctor want to be called doctor, you know, her. She is a councilwoman. Councilwoman Maxine Waters. Happy birthday. Happy Earth Day. Happy, man. Happy joy. Just man, bring all that black girl magic over here to me. Definitely shout out to Councilwoman Maxine Waters for that, man. Also, we got some really, really, really like news today that really just shook the city of Philadelphia. We wanted to make sure that we put that out as well. Yo, Chuar, go ahead and read that to them.
Unfortunately, Ashun Bumi, who is actually the CEO of Adunde 365, she was on Revive to talk about the Adunde Festival, and her mother unfortunately recently passed away, and she started the Adunde Festival. So everyone in the tri-state area and even nationally and internationally, you know about the Adunde Festival. Just reach out and check in and lift Bumi up in thoughts and your prayers and all good vibes. So the Revive team, once again, all our thoughts, prayers, support, and positive vibe is going to Ashun Bumi right now, because it's a tough thing to lose your mother, and we just support you and we're here if you need us.
Definitely, especially, you know, to the whole South Philly area, you know what I mean? After you just came up last weekend, you know, so much joy coming from that South Philadelphia area last weekend, and then to hear this weekend in the middle of the week, you know, you just lost a pioneer in the game. You know, I know for a fact she deserves her memorial. You guys in South Philly better make sure she gets a memorial down there on somebody's building, because she put in work for South Philly, man. When the Adunde Festival comes to Philly each and every summer, they make sure that they do it right. They do it in style. They do it in fashion. They definitely do it for the culture. So shout out to everybody in the South Philadelphia area. I hope you guys do her right and leave her legacy the correct way. I know, you know, Bumi gonna make sure that she goes out in style. So shout out to that whole family, and I'm definitely gonna keep them in my prayers. And also a big, huge Earth Day birthday shout out to Councilwoman Maxine Waters today. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl PLC. I am not gonna be live this Sunday. I am actually going home to celebrate with my cousin. She's getting married. I'm actually going home to be with my family. I'm extremely excited. Also, my prayers go to my uncle as well. He was just in a car accident yesterday. So definitely I'm praying for my uncle. Yo, Renard, you in my prayers each and every day. Make sure you get healthy. Get back on these streets, man. We need you out here. So definitely I'm keeping you in my prayers always. Shout out to my entire family for always supporting as well. Once again, I will not be live this Sunday. But you can still tune in to the Revive timeline on both Facebook and Twitter, because we will still be doing a episode of Revive starting at 11 a.m. on Sunday. So do not miss that at all. Do not miss that show on Sunday, because we'll be playing a pre-recorded episode for you guys on Sunday. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Also, shout out to Higher Level Communication with True Heart, and also shout out to Harmony the Goddess for always holding the Revive team down. Yo, September is coming really fast, and just know Revive got some news for you guys, because we are growing. We do not stop. We're working for you guys. Just know we're working for you guys, man. We got some news that we're going to drop in September. I'm just waiting for it. Make sure you guys subscribe to that Revive newsletter. Just go right under where you click to hear me each and every Wednesday, each and every Sunday. Right under there, there's a big word that says subscribe. Click that word. It's going to take you to a link that's going to take you to where you can subscribe to the Revive newsletter, so you can stay in tune, stay in the loop about what's going on with Revive. And you definitely want to stay in the loop for what's going on in the month of September, because we got some big things coming up in the month of September. You guys do not want to miss. I want you guys sitting on the edge of your seat until September gets here. So make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl PLC. I'll be back on the airways in a week. 1 week, you guys. I'll be back on next Wednesday. Stay tuned.